terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
When she's on the back of a donkey, 9 months pregnant, she ain't feeling blessed. Because when a woman's at that point, it's just, let's have a baby. I don't want to go on a donkey ride. Whoa. There's no room in the inn? You mean I have to have a baby in a barn? Oh, I feel blessed. That angel comes on, he's given this positive. Why? Because when you get the gist of what this means, it ain't going to feel so wonderful. See, every word and every blessing from God brings a burden. See, they don't tell you that. There's a certain group out there preaching on TV. They don't tell you that. They need blessings, you just come blessings, and you just live happy. No, with every blessing comes a burden. Even in Joseph's case, in Matthew chapter 1, 19 through 20, as we see the encounter with Joseph. All right, starting in verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her. Now, what is he? Does he divorce her? No, he marries her. Which suggests what to all the neighbors? He's the daddy. Because an honorable man puts her away. He don't marry a dishonorable woman. Since he marries her, now for him, he gets this wonderful greeting. Your wife's going, you're the right, wait a minute, I'm a righteous man, then why am I being accused of being unrighteous? See, we think about Mary, but Joseph's basically charged with the same crime. Under the law of their day, they should have been stoned. But they can't put anybody to death under Roman rule. But that was what the Jewish law says. But it says Joseph, the angel says the same thing to Joseph, son of David. Yeah. Do not be afraid. Well, your fiance, your betrothed, is going to have a child, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and they shall call his name Yeshua, which means Jesus. Joshua means salvation. Okay, so when we sing Hosanna, by the way, that means salvation. So Hosanna means salvation as well. Okay, and he will save his people from his sins. Oh, man, my son. Now, if you have a son and you have a daughter, you recognize the difference. Because your son, you have all these dreams for that will achieve great, and your little girl, you just want to keep at home. At least that's the way it's been for me. So he's getting a promise about what his son is going to be. His son's going to make a difference. But even with that blessing comes a very heavy weight. We forget that blessings, and I just because it's two B's, it sounds good. You can use whatever word. But blessings and burdens are partners. They always come together. Really? You won't get a paycheck without a job. And a paycheck's not the hard part. It's the job that's the hard part. Okay? You don't have to fight the traffic to Boise every day if you don't have a car, if you don't have a job. You don't have to worry about your wife saying, clean out the garage if you don't have to worry about putting a car in it. Each one of those blessings come, right? The refrigerator broke down. You don't understand. Without electricity, you don't need a refrigerator. Right, Tim? Right. And when we went and saw the Tagases up in Cambodia, she didn't have no refrigerator to break down. You rent, and you finally want to own your own home. Boy, does that come with burdens. Amen. Oh, Lord, bring me a spouse, bring me a husband, bring me a wife. Yeah, that blessing comes with a burden. Oh, Lord, though we've been blessed us with children now, God, we want to be blessed with children. That comes with a burden. Even in a natural sense, those blessings come. You get a raise at work and a promotion at the same time. Guess what? You also got more responsibility. This idea that somehow God just puts blessing on you and you just soak in it? No. Nope. Well, what is the burden that comes with this blessing, particularly for Mary, but with all of us, it's the burden of responsibility. What did Mary get entrusted with? And your son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. How would you like to be the mother of Jesus? Yeah. You make more mistakes than he does. Matter of fact, he don't make any. Ooh, having a perfect kid? Oh, that's pressure. I mean, I just think about it in that natural sense. Skip the pressure of all the things we already talked about. His ministry and all these, his own brothers and sisters not believing, that's family fight. Right? The family comes to show up to see Jesus. Jesus don't even let them in. Says, you got to leave, mother and brother and sister. Okay? And then his brothers go, wait a minute, I grew up with this boy. He ain't nothing special. That's the way it was throughout the life. But we see these kind of things in Scripture. And Mary pondered these things in her heart. She said, besides that part of it, to me, just being the mother or father of the perfect Christ... Ouch. I wonder how many times, now we're all supposed to apologize to our kids when we make mistakes, you know. I'm sorry, Junior, that was my fault. Okay. There wasn't ever the conversation where it was his fault. Never. But what happens if you lose your temper? Just think about that and that concept, besides the other struggles that come along the way. She was given this blessing of this baby, this child. She became responsible. If they're normal people, you worry about him running out into traffic and getting run over by a chariot. Man, what would happen if I'm the one that got responsible for the Son of God being killed? No, we think you don't think that happened? The first time Joseph puts him in the carpenter shop and he's got a knife, you think Mary didn't worry? But compound that worry. Well, I wonder what happens if the Son of God cuts his finger. Does it bleed? Does it heal automatically? I don't know. This was a very unique... This blessing came with its own weights, and she was responsible. Her and Joseph were responsible for raising him. And then we get to the point where he's 12, right? And he's at the temple, so I got to be up in my father's business. Deal with that one, Dad. Well, it's my house, my rules. Yeah, but my dad said... Oh, and you can't say he was wrong. See, God will bless you to the level of your ability to carry the burden. That's why I'm not rich. Because God knows I couldn't carry that burden. I've said this before. I had spoiled rotten kids and spoiled rotten wife, and nobody'd like them. He knows that's not a burden meant for me. I'll go travel across Cambodia. I guess I can handle that one. Let me put it in the words of Luke in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from him to whom they've been entrusted much, they will demand more. And I want to say that in the context of the United States, you know how much we've been given? Yeah. Just take your Bible that you have, with cross references, with a concordance, and maybe maps in the back. And Tim will tell you, the first time we went over to the Philippines, when we gave out Bibles that had concordances and to pastors, they've been preaching out of, they had Matthew. And they've been preaching out of Matthew for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? We have that. You probably have more than one version in your house. You have access, if you don't, you have access to internet that gets you any version. How many of you had the Bible on your phone? I do too, in 5 versions. I'm not talking about one you have to go online to get, it's just on my phone now. Okay, eSword Lite. We've been given that, guess what? For much, much is required about the Word of God itself. You've been given it, how do you steward that? It is a blessing, but guess what? With that blessing comes, I would suggest you, that's one of the reasons most people don't read it. Because as I get a word from God, guess what? Yeah, it comes with demands. Okay? I'm not saying there's demands for my salvation. That's done in the work of Christ. Okay? He's the one that accomplished that, nothing in us. All right? But the same's true of Mary here. This is by the grace of God, but with it comes this responsibility. And if you look at James chapter 3, it says in particular, like teachers... Okay, it tells you that those who teach, they're going to be held to a whole nother standard. Why? Because they've been given much. and they'll be held to a higher standard in that regard. So there's an example of that. So here's what I suggest, particularly if you're out there in media listening, stop praying for a blessing if you can't handle the burden.
Amen.
What's the numbers? I don't know anybody know, but the people that win the lottery, what percentage of them file bankruptcy? See, they can't handle the burden. Okay, yeah, suicide rates, divorce rates, all they can't handle the burden. Mary's response to this blessing that she's pondering, trying to figure out what this means, and the angel tells her that you're going to have a child, and she says, I don't get it. How can this happen? And then that's a natural response. It's not a statement of doubt. It's a statement of, I don't understand. How does that work under these conditions? Under not being married, and I use that term because of our mixed age group here. How does this work? Let me put it this way. I don't meet the qualifications for this one, God. That's right, you don't. Neither does Joseph. He doesn't meet the requirements. What requirements do you have to be the mother and father of Jesus? I mean, could you have a resume, you know, good enough for that? I don't know. But in this particular case, she goes, wait a minute here. There are certain physical limitations here. And the process. So that's where he says, the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit's going to do this. It's not going to be you anyway. It's the Holy Spirit doing this. And to show you the Holy Spirit can do this, your own relative who's past that time of life, menopause has come and left, is having a baby. And nothing is impossible with God. Mary, I know you don't meet the qualifications. Mary, I know you don't get it, but this is a God thing. And God's bigger than your limitations. He's bigger than your understanding. He can do the things that are impossible. Now, I'm going to be straight. There are a group of people out there that say nothing's impossible to God, so pray in your BMW. That isn't the kind of nothing impossible to God according to what God wants to do. This ain't Mary asking for something. This isn't Joseph putting in their three wishes after they rubbed the magic faith lamp. This is God saying, my will's going to get done in your life. It's not impossible for God to do it. And I've heard this many a time. Well, I could never be on a worship team. Something more outward. I could never preach. I could never X. Oh, yeah? If God wants you to, you sure can. Because he's the one that equips you to carry the burden. Then Mary's response to the angel there, we're at verse 38. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. There's a group that tells you, no, if it's your word, you just name it and it's yours. I don't see that here. I see, no, according to what your, well, wait a minute, that's doubt. That's praying. You know, if you say, Lord, according to your will, well, you don't, that's doubt. You can't pray that way. Really? Yeah. See, Mary was smart enough to know she couldn't tell God what to do. We'll touch on that more in a minute. And then he goes on to this, tells her again about the Elizabeth. And what's interesting, when Mary goes and visits Elizabeth in verse 42, remember? John jumps, moves in her womb. Some scholars and theologians suggest through the language there, and I didn't study that, that perhaps she hadn't felt the movement before, and it's the 6th month. And this idea of movement coming at that time. But she says this, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I don't know about you, but why did Mary leave? Why did she go visit Elizabeth? Every scholar on the planet. Because you starting to show? Because you need to get out of town? Because, wait a minute. Excuse me, Aunt Lizzie. Do you know why I'm here? And you say I'm blessed? You know my husband? He was looking to divorce me quietly, but you saying I'm blessed? See, there are people out there, they say, when everything's right and peachy and it's good, that's when you're blessed. If you're in the hospital, you can't be blessed. Really? Really. And then Mary gives what's called Mary's song. Without my glasses, I'll do my best to read it to you. Verses 46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." What's your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. That part of it, okay? "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I don't know about you, but she's about ready to go through a bunch of junk. And he's still her Savior. "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." Now who's claiming it? She's claiming what? The word of God, not her word. The word that God's already given, also through Elizabeth. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Again, I want you to put that. He's done great things for me. What has he done for me? Caused me to be accused. Almost lose my husband. Leave town. All the things we know in the story. But he's done great things for her. "And the mercy, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts." Wonder who she's talking about there. The self-righteous people maybe that were condemning her? Maybe. "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring." And then Mary remains there 3 months. Just to draw a few lessons from this, besides what Sora pointed out, okay? I want you to understand, Christianity, that's, if you will, that's your first word to God to you, is when he calls you into his kingdom, when he elects you. Christianity is not using God to get what you want. Okay? And we're all guilty of this, I think. Somebody's life's a mess, whatever that looks like. And we, well, what you need is Christ. Well, I agree they need Christ, but does that mean he's going to fix their mess? No. Okay? Christianity is about being open, like Mary said, whatever you want, God. But let's get real. In the United States in particular, we've made Christianity about consuming, about taking, about getting, not about whatever you want, God. See, she even mentions Abraham in her song, knowing this, when God called or elected Abraham for a purpose, for a task. So here's what I want. Abraham, I want something from you. I could do it without you. But in my grace, I include you in what I'm doing. And I think we do a disservice to those that we're sharing the gospel with to make them think it's all about you. Two, when God speaks, it usually cancels out everything you have planned. Oh, yeah. You know, in my own life, I could tell you stories. I think probably in yours as well. Okay? When God speaks into your life, usually through the Word of God in particular, okay, it alters. You read in there and it says, "Husbands, love your wife." Yeah, but you don't know my wife. That's not me literally. That's you in general. Okay. Hey, well, whoa. Love your enemies and pray for them. I like being mad at them instead. When we see, when God speaks to us out of his word, usually it means my plans, my desires go out the window. That's right. God starts working on you when it says God will give you the desires of your heart. Most people think whatever I desire, he'll give me. If you look at it, no, what he means is what you desire, he's given you that desire. Okay? He's given you the desires. The things you desire, he'll give you. Not, am I making sense out of that? That's hard to say. Okay, but he'll change your desires so you want what he wants. Maybe that's a better way to say it, okay? If you want to do it your way, don't ask God for help. If you want everything to go according to your nice, neat little plan, don't ask for God. Don't say things like this, right, Kay? Oh, God, please use me. Don't ask. Don't do that. If you want to do it your way, don't do that. Okay? Number three, every blessing, every word from God comes with the responsibility to steward that. So the word comes to you in the word about marriage, about whatever. He expects you to be a steward, a manager of that. By the way, that to one much is given, much is required. That comes particularly out of the parable of the talents, that idea that he gives and he expects that stewardship from it. And the other thing is, I noticed this. What does Mary do? Does she, when she's with Elizabeth, talking about how hard this has been? Well, you wouldn't believe, Lizzie. I mean, you don't know what I've gone through there in Nazareth. It's been... No, what does she do? She gives praise. She sings a song, gives a song of praise. See, when we stop giving the praise, the thanksgiving for the blessing, guess what we get stuck on? The weight of the burden. I know many a clergy, many a pastor that have gotten cynical and hard because they forgot when God called them to this, they were all excited about it. God's called me to ministry. God, whatever you do, send me wherever you go. But when I got there, I didn't like how it went. So now they just walk in bitterness, sarcasm. They're cautious of everybody in the body of Christ because everybody's out to get them type thinking. I know you've never met a pastor like that. But that's out there. They forgot it's a blessing to be used by God. It doesn't matter. All the other peripheral things, the fact that God used me and chose me, that's enough to give him praise and thanks for. And if you're a believer, you're blessed even when you don't feel like it. Why? I am redeemed. When I don't feel like it, when I've messed up, when life's hard, his grace has still been apportioned to me. So that when it all said and done, Mary is also there in the upper room. We quote, the church is born. I argue that, but that's okay. The New Testament church is born. She's in that room. She went through all that. She got to see the resurrected Son. She was there when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. She went, as believers, we recognize this. Yes, life's hard. Matter of fact, Jesus put it this way. I promise you this. You will have trial or troubles, but be of good cheer. There's that greeting again. I will be with you always. There's a promise. He's going to, he has overcome the world. I'm sorry. Okay. We got to recognize this, that God never promises the Christian life is an easy one. He just promises this. If you're pliable, I'll use you. And you won't find any greater blessing. Amen. It's true. We often sit back and wait for God to use someone else, either to minister us, to do that ministry thing, to do. But wait a minute, God says, "Don't you're, I want to bless you by having you do it." Yeah, but that's hard. I don't know how to. Yeah, but with that comes. I know. But there is nothing greater than being able to say to God, Father, whatever you say, let it be done. See, Mary recognized that was the real blessing. It wasn't the physical things that she was going through. Not that she was going to ever live in a palace. Not that it was just this. Everybody forever is going to call me blessed. Why? Because God used me. If you think about it, we talked about this last week. Name the 10 spies who didn't have faith. Name the 2 who did. Those ones God continued to use, those we remember. Every missionary story you ever heard, every great saint that you've ever heard about said this, okay, God used me. And you can read their books. It wasn't easy. But they understood the greatest blessing was to be simply God, let your will be done in my life. So that means when your laundry room floods and drains into your living room. So the workers are there. I'm not an idiot. God in his providence brought people right into my house to share Christ with. I didn't have to go door to door in the cold. He brought them to my house. The greatest. In the midst of that, that ain't a blessing, trust me. But I can be blessed with this. Oh, and by the way, and I just start along. Yep, you're from Texas, one of the guys, so you had to go to church, right? That just opens the door to talk about it. And the young man, his apprentice person with him who would step outside and smoke, that doesn't make him a sinner. Okay, but I can tell by other things he didn't know. Guess what he got to hear? Even though the guy from Texas knew it all, and we dialogued on that, guess who heard it? Because I know this, even a flood in your house can be a blessing. You sure you want a blessing from God? I'll give you my old washer. You sure you want a blessing? You sure you want a word from God? It will come with its own burden, but it will be the greatest burden you ever carry. Let's stand. Father, in this season, we see the blessing of your Son come in human flesh. Father, but we recognize it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross, even in that. Father, we must keep our eyes on the fact that it was you working in the earth, that not everything Jesus, Mary, Joseph went through, we would interpret it a blessing. But God, help our hearts to be willing to say like Mary, Father, whatever you say, I'm in. Father, then in our lives, then you are receiving the glory, not us. Be glorified in it, Lord. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.